Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the blessings I have as the executive director of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board is to travel around the state and experience worship like this morning. What a blessing it is. I know you are blessed by it each and every week. So thank you, Brother Lee. Thank you for all that those who work with you to provide the worship services like we just had or are having right now. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalm 119. We're going to look at a few verses there in this text to encourage us, inform us, and challenge us to be in the Word and for the Word to be in us. And as you're turning, let me say a word of appreciation, first of all, to your pastor, former pastor, Brother Jimmy Patterson, who is a dear friend of mine. He has served so faithfully, not here, just here at First Baptist Noonan and the community of Noonan, but all across the state of Georgia. He was a great sense of and source of wisdom and spiritual guidance for us when he served on the administration committee and the executive committee and so many others. And so I know that you're praying for him. I know how much you all love him. And I just want you to know that he is loved by many, even beyond the city of Noonan and your church. I want to say a word also of appreciation to your church. You're one of 3,600 that are across our state. You know, there are more Georgia Baptist churches in Georgia than there are McDonald's. You know that, don't you? And our Happy Meal is a whole lot better than theirs. But I will say this to you. The ministry that's going on through Georgia Baptist is immense. There are Baptist churches, Georgia Baptist churches, in every county, every city in Georgia. There are a few communities that we're still looking to plant churches in. And there are a lot of areas in Georgia where we are terribly under-churched because of the population growth that's taking place in some of our counties, like Coweta. Your county's up around 35% over the last 10 years. That's explosion there. And so we want to continue to plant more churches in these areas where there are more people to be reached. A lot of things that are happening. I'll give you a couple of examples. This past 2 weeks ago, Georgia Baptist, we not only do pastors retreats for our pastors and their wives in Georgia, but we also serve the underserved areas of our country. We were up in Michigan doing 3 retreats in the state of Michigan, helping the pastors and their wives who've been through a terrible time like we all have and just need some encouragement, some blessings. So because you are a church that partners with us to do things far beyond your county, we're able to do something like that. Last week, we had 52 missionary kids. These were all 18-year-olds that were about to go into college. And they literally came from all over the world and came to Camp Pinnacle, which is up in the North Georgia Mountains, and spent a week up there of just preparing them for this transition from where they have been to somewhere in the States where they'll be going to college. It was a great time, a great blessing to them. My wife, Carrie, and I were able to go up there and spend an evening with them, a time of worship and a time of fun and recreation. So thank you for that. But more than that, we're planting churches, as I told you. We're encouraging and ministering to pastors and their families. And we're also engaging with the lostness of Georgia. Right now, we know that over 75% of Georgians didn't go to church once in 2019. We're the Bible Belt, right, folks? And I will tell you that number is far more in 2020 because of the pandemic. And the sad reality is many people aren't coming back to church. And there are so many others that are moving into Georgia. And so we want to continue to encourage and strengthen and resource our churches. But here's the other thing. There's 5 areas that we're trying to engage in that are a result of the brokenness of society. You know, Georgia Baptist, we're known for what we're against, but we need to be known more for what we're for. And that's what we're doing right now with Mission Georgia. If you've never heard of Mission Georgia, there's a website, Mission Georgia, the word spelled out, .org. And you can see all the information there that you want to know about. But there are 5 areas that we're trying to connect 3,600, 1.4 million people, 3,600 churches in this. And the first area is literacy. Right now, the sad reality is many of our students in Georgia are not reading at grade level. The impact of a child's life that doesn't read at the fourth grade level by fourth grade is immense. And so we want to come alongside schools, that are at risk and students that are at risk with churches. And we've created a resource called Read Georgia. And your church can have all the instructions that they need to help you engage and be involved in that. Praise God for the number of students that were down here and children. Praise God for and teenagers and for the number of teachers. And thank you, teachers, for the investment you're making in today's next generation. And so I'm appreciative of that. But there's also some other things, not just literacy, but there's also we're ministering and caring for children that are in foster care. Last year, Georgia, the state of Georgia, spent $9 million putting children in hotels because there wasn't enough homes to put them in. Foster care adoption is one of the growing needs in our state because moms and dads are broken. And the state has said, you should not have children living with you right now. And they're trying to get better, but their kids need to be in a safer place. And so we're wanting Georgia Baptists to come alongside the state and say, we'll help. Right now, about 13,000 children are in foster care program. And we so desperately need moms and dads, families to open up and say, these kids can come stay with us for a while or however long that's needed. But foster care adoption, literacy, here's another one, trafficking. Sadly, Georgia leads as one of the leaders, and this is one of the things we don't want to lead in sex trafficking. We're trying to help come alongside partners and parachurch ministries to help these young ladies and men get out of this and really help them to get into an ordinary life. And also, listen, we're doing all these things not just to help people in the physical needs, but we're helping them also in their spiritual needs to come to faith in Christ. Two other areas that we're working with is immigrants and refugees. They're coming from all over the world. Many of them are being persecuted where they are. They're coming here for needs. The church can come alongside them, minister to them, care for them, and share the love of Christ with them. And then the last one is pre- and postnatal care for uninsured moms. We actually have churches that are actually giving a part of their campus, their facility. And what we're doing in partnership with other ministries is setting up a doctor's office, a quasi-doctor's office on those campuses so that moms in that community that have no health insurance. Let me tell you something sad. African-American women in Georgia are dying in maternal mortality, are dying at higher rate than some countries, some third world countries. And the reason is they don't have access to doctors and health care, vitamins, and all the things that are needed during this. So we're wanting churches to come alongside and help in every aspect of this as well as others. So you get the picture. Georgia Baptists are stepping up where there are needs. We're standing in the gap for those that are hurting. And I will tell you this, I believe with all my heart, it's going to have a tremendous harvest of souls and a blessing to our community. So thank you. Because of your partnership, we're able to do far more. And there's so many other things that are planned even beyond this, and so we're excited about the future. Hey, Psalm 119. I'm going to say a little bit about the book of Psalm, because, actually the chapter 119, because it is a poetic masterpiece. It is the longest book or chapter in the Bible. Sorry, it's the longest chapter. 176 verses in it. It's written in a very unique style. It's divided into 8-line sections. And each line, letter that starts it with a unique letter of the alphabet. There are 8 words throughout this entire chapter that are used to describe the law of God. It says this. It's talking about the law, the testimony, his precepts, his statutes, his commands or his commandments, his judgments, his word, and his promise. Something else very unique. Out of these 176 verses, all but 14 are written to God. So the author, King David, is writing and saying, these are your words, God. I love your statutes. I meditate on your ways. And so it's a very important and powerful chapter. I would encourage you to study it. When my daughters were in high school, one of the football coaches came to me one day and said, would you spend some time with me as far as a father and as a man of God and just mentor me for a period of time? And I was glad to. He said, you've got 2 daughters and I've got 2 daughters and I just want to learn how to be a better father. And so we actually spent months together in a Cracker Barrel. Can I get an amen? In a Cracker Barrel on Thursday nights, and we went through Psalm 119 verse by verse. And I would encourage you, if you've never studied it in your personal devotion time, to read it, because there's nothing better than the Word telling you about the Word. So we're going to have a word from the Word about the Word. Amen? Amen. I will ask for amens. If you can give them without asking, that'd be helpful, okay? Because I preach shorter when you say amen.
Amen.
Brother Lee, you are so predictable. Amen. Look with me now at verse 9. I'll start reading there. How can a young man cleanse his way? The scripture says, by taking heed according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Let's pray together. Now, Father, thank you for the blessing that we've already experienced this morning of worship. A time of fellowship in your word, a time to sing praises to your name. And now as we dive deeply into your word, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. God, as a mirror before us, may we see areas of our lives where we need to change. And I pray also, Father, that our hearts and our minds would be dedicated to you. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. So what I want to do today is just say a few things about our text, bringing out some of these verses that I believe will give us a clearer picture of the benefit or the impact that the Word of God has upon us. Because there are so many things that are challenging or jockeying for your time. And I believe with all my heart, the greatest need we have right now is to be in the Word. We need to be students of the Word, because the things that are coming at us so rapidly in a multifaceted media, as well as the culture changing, we desperately need this anchor and this rock to build our lives upon. So let's look now at verse 9. We see here in verse 9 the cleansing effect, or the amazing effect of the Word of God in helping us get out of the impact of sin. Here he says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Now the word way there he's referring to is something in regard to his lifestyle. Way doesn't necessarily mean that he's on a road. The way is the way in which he's living. In fact, if you go back to verse 1 in Psalm 119, you see this. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. In other words, they're following the Lord with complete obedience in his way. The Bible tells us there's two ways, and that's all there is. There's the way of the Lord, which is narrow, and few are on it. And then there's the way to destruction, which is broad, and many are on it. Now, I will tell you, there are ways of living that bring heartache and disappointment. So when we look at this verse here, it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? That word cleanse there is referring to someone who's stuck in something. He, as a young man, might have seen something that was appealing to him that he thought would bring him joy or excitement or popularity or freedom or happiness or prominence. And the truth is, what he got into has brought him sorrow and made him a prisoner. It's amazing how the Word of God is as relevant as right now, isn't it? Because so many people in our society today have seen things that they thought would bring them freedom and joy, and it brought them just the opposite. And they became addicted to what it was that they thought that they were going to be free with, and now they're slaves to that very thing. And so they were wondering, how can I get out of this mess that I've gotten into? Well, I can tell you this. The flesh will never give you out of what the flesh got you into. And so what we need is something stronger than us. What we need is something bigger than us. What we need is truth. And so the question is, how can a young man who's caught in something, you know, those sins that so easily entangle us, how can a young man who's in a mess get out of it? Well, the answer is right beyond that. He says, by taking heed according to your word. Now, the word heed there means more than just a listening to it. It even means more than just a reading. It means to take the words of the word of God and apply it to your life to where you obey it, you follow it. It has now influenced your life that there is a change in your lifestyle, or better said, there is a change in your ways. You know what the least read book in the world is? Some of you might think, what's the Bible? No, it's not actually the Bible. The least read book in the world is the Automobile Owner's Manual. I can tell. None of you have read it this week. Because there's a time in which we do pull it out, and we pull it out when something goes wrong. The Automobile Owner's Manual was written by the creator of the automobile, the person who knew every part and knew how every part worked, and he knows what every part needs to continue to function at full capacity. He understands how that automobile needs to be maintained so that it really doesn't break down. It's interesting. God's given to us a manual for life and living. He is the one who made every part that you have, created you just like He wants you. He understands life far better than you do. And here's the thing. If you will study it, not after breakdowns, but before breakdowns, it will have such an amazing effect upon your life. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word. Now, let's look at the next thing. As we look at this, the impact of the word of God, but there needs to be a commitment on our part. In fact, the second thing we're going to see is that there must be a commitment that's required for the word to have an impact upon us. Verse 10, he says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. So as we read this verse, we see that King David is saying, with everything that I am pursuing God. And the desire of my heart is that I will not in any way leave or move or wander away from your commandments. I will stay on your way. Friend, let me tell you something. There is a need for us to understand that we cannot be committed to our faith if we're partially committed. My precious wife is here, Carrie, I said to you a few moments ago. And if I went to my wife and said, hey, Carrie, I want you to know that I'm going to be committed to you most of the time. I'm going to be faithful to you almost all of the time. Do you think my wife would say, oh, what a great man you are? No. You see, partial faithfulness in marriage, listen, is unfaithfulness. The emphasis is on what we do. Here, the writer, the king, is saying, I am seeking God with everything that I have. Now, some of you might say, well, I just don't have time. I mean, who has time today to seek God with all of our heart? Who has time to pursue Him like this? Well, I will tell you, we do have time. We just are allowing other things to infringe on our time. I did a little bit of research to find an up-to-date number of hours that we spend as Americans on average in social media. Let me tell you some things that I think will be startling to you. The average American spends 1,300 hours a year on social media. Let me break that down for you just a moment. That's 54 24-hour days a year. Let me break it down for you a little bit more. That's one day a week. That's a 24-hour period every week. I'm telling you that to tell you this. You have time. It's just a matter of commitment. And what you'll have to do every day is push things out of your life that keep trying to grow in, just like I spent time yesterday in our flower beds pulling up things I didn't plant there. And there will be things that you don't want planted in your life that you have to push out. And let me tell you something. Social media, I think, is one of the greatest problems in our society today. You say, my goodness, come on. Quit acting like an old guy yelling, get off my lawn. Well, let me share this with you. There is right now a presence in so many of Americans, just even a mild level of depression. And I think that social media feeds it. Because as you, for hour after hour, look at what other people are doing that you're not, and where they're going on vacation and you're not, and look what they're doing and where they're eating. I mean, why do people take pictures of their food and think, I want to see that? And then you look at them and say, look how beautiful they are. What you don't know is they spent an hour taking 1,000 pictures of themselves, trying to get the right angle and right lighting, and then they filtered the thing to make themselves look better. So what you're seeing really isn't them. And you're looking at that. I'm just saying that's just a 2-minute detour. I'm back to the word now, all right? Just I would encourage you, fast from social media and see if your life isn't better. And feast on the Word of God. 1,300 hours a year. Let me go on now. Not only the cleansing effect, but the Word of God has a, listen to this now, a protecting effect. There's a protection that's provided for you and I by the Word. Now listen, for those who seek God with all their heart, for those who are pursuing after God. In fact, let me read to you from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 29. But from there you will seek God, or seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. Those people now have a second benefit, and that is this protection that's provided by the Word. Look now at the very next verse. Verse 11 says, your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Now, to hide the Word of God in your heart means that you're doing more than just reading it. It means that you're studying it, that you're meditating upon it, that you're memorizing it. You know, the Word of God is, listen, it is a resource that God has given to us. Not just a life manual, but a resource and an actual weapon. The Bible says, Paul talks about the armor of God, part of the armor is the Word of God. And which part of the armor is it? It is the only offensive weapon we have. It is the sword of truth. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness preparing for his messianic ministry? He was there for 40 days, fasting and praying. Now, the scripture gives us three instances in which there was a dialogue between Satan and Jesus. But this Bible also tells us that Satan tempted him every day. It wasn't just three times, but just three times that are recorded for us. And every time Satan came to Jesus with a temptation, what did Jesus use to combat his lies and temptation? He used the Word of God over and over and over. You see, the Word of God is that solid rock foundation that you can build your life on. And it will enable you to stay away from the lies and the philosophies of this world that are contrary to that of God. Jesus said this in the book of John. He said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. So if you're in the Word of God, you're showing that you're one of his disciples. And through that word, as you study it and as you read it, it has an effect upon you. This is what he said. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Anybody here want freedom? Then you need to know the truth. You see, lies are what keep us in prison. Every father here needs truth. Every mother here needs truth. Every marriage, every child. So he talks about this amazing impact of the Word of God in our lives. Not only will it get us out of that mess, but now listen, it will keep us from getting back in the mess. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, so I won't sin against you. The incredible thing is that the Word of God affects us. So there was a time years ago where these secular university professors gathered together. All of them were authors that had written a number of books on human motivation. They asked these men, 15 of them, would you spend an afternoon and come out with a statement? If you'll condense all of your books into just a short statement, tell us about motivation. And this is what they came up with. They said, what the mind tends to, it considers. There's a reason why corporations spend millions of dollars every month to put their advertisements on TV. You know why? They want your mind to consider their product. Because if you don't consider it, you'll never buy it. What the mind tends to, it considers. The second thing they said is, what the mind doesn't tend to, it dismisses. The amazing thing is, if you say, nope, I'm not going to even think about that, it's gone. Third thing, what the mind tends to continually, it believes. I believe I need that. Fourth thing, what the mind believes, it eventually does. It's amazing how a thought leads to an action. A thought that's continually thought about can lead to an action. That's why the Bible tells us to guard your heart. Out of it come the issues of life. Computer people have their own vocabulary and their own language. They try to intimidate me at the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. They just say things that they know I don't understand. But every now and then they'll say something I get. Like they said this, Brother Hammond, garbage in, garbage out. Okay, I understand that. In other words, if we put a program in that's not programmed correctly, the computer itself cannot function. It won't. In other words, the computer won't fix it. So what will come out is not what you want. Put the wrong thing in, the wrong thing will come out. It's the same thing in life, isn't it? Young people, let me tell you something. There are so many things in this world that the enemy wants you to look at, to listen to commit your mind and your heart to. And garbage in will lead to garbage out. The Bible says so clearly that a man can't pull fire to his bosom and not be burned. And we cannot spend our time in anything that is sinful and not be affected. Amen? The next thing I want you to see is simply this. The diligence or the communication, the boldness that comes with the word. He said, with my lips I have declared all the statutes of your mouth. In other words, this person wants to do what? He's been blessed by the word. He's been blessed by the laws of God. And now he wants to tell everyone about the laws of God. Why? Because they set us free. You say, wait a minute. Laws don't set you free. Oh, yeah. They set you free to live in safety. What if tomorrow we said there'll be no speed limits in Coweta County? Everybody can drive any way they want to. You know what you'd do? You'd call in sick, wouldn't you? Because what you would see is what would happen when there are no laws. We need to communicate to a lost world the amazing laws of God that protect us and create a better life. The last thing I want you to see is the adoration to the word by the king. Look what he says in verse 14. He says, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. In other words, he loves the word of God. Now, if I were to tell you this, man, I love the word of God, more than all the wealth I had. You say, well, you're just some preacher. You don't have much wealth. And I'm like, okay. But I want to remind you this. King David is saying this. The king is saying, I love the word more than anything else. More than anything that riches can buy me. I love the word of God. His testimony, his laws, his statutes. Because they protect us. As you read on, you'll see in verse 14, he says, I will meditate on your precepts. And I love this. I will contemplate your ways. When's the last time you spent 15 minutes contemplating the ways of God? The ways of God. Interesting. We end with that verse and we started with verse 9. And verse 9 was, how can a young man cleanse his way? And we end with this man, King David, saying, I am meditating, contemplating, thinking about God's ways. God's ways are higher. Amen? God's ways are better. So for you and I to know God's ways, there has to be, first of all, a delight in our heart for the things of God. If you don't delight in it, you won't be studying it. It's all about what do you love, isn't it? It boils down to what do you love. The second thing is, what are you devoted to? I will tell you, the Word of God will help every marriage. It'll help every heart. Scripture says it's like a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. You know, one thing the Word of God teaches us is how a person can have a relationship with God. God wants us to know that. He wants us to know how you and I as humans, sinful, fallen, broken, imperfect, can have a relationship with a holy, righteous, perfect God. Well, we can't even on our own get into his presence. But he's given us access to himself. In fact, listen to this. He even wants to adopt us into his family. How awesome is that? He is such a loving God. You say, how in the world can I have a relationship with God? Well, first of all, you have to realize the Bible tells us that every one of us, we're all sinners. Sin's where you and I fall short of God's glory. It's where we do things that are wrong. And I know that, listen, sin is still sin, right? I don't care what the culture says. Sin's still sin. And listen, that sin separates us from a holy and a righteous God. It's like a barrier between us and God. But God, who is going to judge us for our sin, this God who is infinite in his righteousness, is also infinite in his love. And so this God desires, listen, to provide, he desired to provide us a means by which you and I can have forgiveness of our sin. And he sent Jesus, his son, to come to this earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, listen, taught, healed, did signs and wonders, and then went to a cross, a Roman tool for execution, to pay a price and a penalty that wasn't his. It was mine and was yours. Jesus died for our sin. For why? So that you and I can have forgiveness and have a relationship with God. You see, how in the world does that take place? Well, you place your faith in Jesus. You place your faith in Jesus. And the Bible says so clearly, you can have your sin forgiven. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's bow our heads together. this morning, as you've been processing the things that you've been hearing, I wonder if you've contemplated a need to spend more time in the Word. You say, Thomas, I know I need to spend more time in the Word. If that's true for you, then go ahead right now and schedule it. Go ahead right now and make that commitment. You say, I wouldn't even know where to start. The Bible is such a big book. Start in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and read and study. And you say, well, there's so many things I won't understand. I understand that. There'll be a lot of things you do understand. And I'll tell you this, the more you read it, the more you'll understand it. Maybe there's some of you here today, you're looking for a church home, and you believe God's leading you to First Baptist. Well, then I encourage you to come. This is a wonderful church that not only loves the Word of God, and not only loves the Lord of the Word, but they love their community too. And so you come during this time in just a few moments of invitation. But others of you, maybe you've placed your faith in Jesus, or you want to do just that. Well, I encourage you to come. In just a few moments, I'll say a word of prayer. When I say amen, we'll stand to our feet. I'll be standing down front here to talk with any of you who say, I have a question, I need a prayer, whatever your need is. It's our opportunity to do business with God. I'll pray, then we'll stand and sing, and you come. Father, in Jesus' name, may each heart be obedient to you, yielded that you might receive glory and honor through them. And I pray all this in Christ's name.